Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Luke Cobray.
Excited for tonight. Kind of a story night. I get to share some stories, some experiences. And tonight, the title of the message is this: Focus Realignment. If you're taking notes or preparing to take notes, a focus realignment. Now, the reason I said, I remember just thinking of it, I remember there was a time when we were filming, we used to film for the International School of Ministry classes here at the church, and we would set up all of our cameras. And I remember one time, one of our friends, one of the guys that used to work at the church, he tripped on a cable, and he pulled a camera off these really big stage pieces. They're real tall, and he pulled it. I mean, I remember what happened in slow motion. You know, as the tech guy, used to be the tech guy at the church, I remember watching this camera, this big studio camera, just kind of fall from like 8 feet, and it took all of the fall on those big TV lenses. And I remember everything worked. It was amazing. It was like God's hand was on there, like the pillow of God's mercy on the Rock Church and World Outreach Center caught the camera. The only thing that happened is a little piece of glass on the inside of the lens got out of alignment. But that simple alignment issue with just one piece of glass out of many pieces of glass made it so that the camera wouldn't see clearly, that it was blurry on one side, and that it just didn't work the right way. And so what we had to do is we had to send that lens in, and they had to take it apart, and they had to put all the pieces right back together so that as you look through it, everything came into alignment. Today I want to talk about focus realignment, not about cameras, not about lenses. You're like, Pastor Luke, what? Are we going to have a technology lecture? No. That's for another time. But tonight, I want to talk about our focus. You see, when you and I focus on something, it becomes transparent. It becomes clear. Is anybody in there in the house tonight, is anybody like a researcher? You know, when you're going to buy something, whether it be a car or maybe just jeans, whatever it might be, like, you got to get in there. You got to know, like, all right, who's got the best this, or who's got the best safety pick over here? Is there any researchers in the house today? Look at you guys. With this information age, it becomes so easy to become information overloaded. I know for me, whenever it comes time to look into something, my wife's probably right now, she's at home with the kids watching online, and she's rolling her eyes thinking, oh, is he telling the truth, or is he telling the truth? When it comes time for me to get something or buy something, when the window's open, oh man, I go into research mode, and it's got windows of internet pages of researches and articles and reviews. There's so much information sometimes that it becomes hard to even process, hard to manage. What we have to do is we have to kind of dig through all of that to focus in. And in our day and age, the more we focus on things, the more they become greater in our lives, the more clear and apparent they are in our lives. But what might happen as we progress, as we age, as life goes through its experiences, anybody been through some of those life experiences? As we go through life experiences, our focus might become misaligned to what God has for us. We start looking, or we start thinking on, or we start directing our attention on certain aspects in life that God says, hey, listen, I don't want you to draw your attention there. So today what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about a focus realignment. You see, a while back, I really got a neat object lesson from the Holy Spirit. I had a phobia. Has anybody ever heard of phobias before? Or like arachnophobia and claustrophobia. You know, does anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, listen, I got to make sure that we understand the difference between what a phobia and general discomfort is, okay? So a phobia is an irrational fear of something. Irrational. It doesn't make sense. You can't even describe it. You're just freaked out by it, okay? There's a couple things that Pastor Luke has, I don't proclaim them, but needles, okay? I go to the doctor's office and they're like, it's time for a shot. You see me do the heebie-jeebie, no, don't touch me with that. But a phobia, see, that's general discomfort. A phobia is something, you can't describe it. Okay, so I may have a general discomfort with snakes. Anybody ever seen a snake? I went fishing yesterday in our local mountains, and I was sitting on the side of a river. And here's Pastor Jim, ready for this? True story. All right. Sitting on the side of the river, and I look over, and there's this darn snake snapping at me. He's trying to bite me. I'm not even kidding right now. All right, Pastor Luke made the biggest, thank the Lord I was in the wilderness by myself, okay? Because I made the biggest girl scream. I must have jumped like 45 feet, threw my fishing pole down, and, you know, have you ever done the spider dance or anything like that? Right? Oh man, I tell you, That's a general discomfort. A phobia is something I can't even explain. Okay, it just, you're freaked out by it. You can't. I had one, and the Holy Spirit really used it as an object lesson for me. It was something that started to prohibit me from doing the things that I wanted to do, from doing the things that I really liked doing. I really enjoyed being on the outside, and this particular phobia really stopped. I couldn't explain it. It was irrational, and it just came on me. I wasn't this way all my life. And all of a sudden it happened, and the Holy Spirit began to minister and began to speak to me as I was studying and thinking about what is going on with me in this. The Holy Spirit began to say, the phobia or this irrational fear that you can't even describe or explain is from a process throughout your life of misaligned focus. You have been looking at things and you have been seeing things in the wrong light. You have been looking at you have been asking the wrong questions. You have been thinking the wrong thoughts in your mind. And because of that, it built up to a place now. You can't describe it. There's no rational emotion attached to it. All you know is that you can't do what this phobia is. Now you're like, Pastor Luke, what's this phobia? I'll get there. All right, I'll tell you. But the Holy Spirit began to show me that my focus was misaligned. So I began to think about, okay, what is the things that we naturally focus on? What are some things that we naturally focus on? Now, we could spend all night just listing things. Now, we're not going to preach. Well, I'm going to preach on these. Or I'm going to teach on these. But we're going to just kind of look at some four things that the Holy Spirit gave me in my own life regarding this phobia, regarding my own personal walk with God. Some things that we naturally, as humans, tend to focus on, tend to look at. All right? You guys with me today? Number one, well, you don't have to really write number one, number twos or whatever like that, but some of the things that we focus on is we focus on the what ifs. The what ifs. Has anybody ever been a what if person? Is there any you, listen, it's okay. You can admit it. Remember the Bible says judge and let's not you be judged, so you know, let's not judge. I'm a what if person, which means I focus on what ifs all day long. My wife, she makes fun of me because while we're driving in the car on the freeway, she'll see my lips moving. And then all of a sudden I'll start pointing. And she's just sitting there like in the passenger seat looking at me like watching, waiting for me to realize that I'm like going over something in my head. And then she's like, what you talking about? And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm going over scenarios. Well, okay, if I'm going to do this, what if they say that? What if they do this? What if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? What if this? What if this? What if? And I go through what ifs all day long. We focus on the what ifs. All right. Some of the second things that we focus on. We focus on problems. Oh my Lord. We focus on our problems. We look into them. Now our problems might be issues. They might be speed bumps in life. They might be things that were handed to us, or you might say that were dealt to us through the process of life. Listen, our problems might be sin. We focus on them. We look at them. These are my vices. I can't get rid of them. I can't stop them. No matter what I do, it seems to come back. I throw it out and it comes back like we talked about tonight. Depression. We keep thinking about it over and over and over and over. We naturally have a tendency to focus on these. Have you ever heard the term misery loves company? Ever been around a person that just loves to talk about their problems? Have you ever been around somebody that has to one-up you with their problems? Oh, man, how you feeling? You know, man, I got a little sinuses and, you know, my throat. Oh my goodness. You should have seen. Yesterday, I was like, it's like, man. Just let me be in my little own miserable company right now, okay? We focus on our problems. It's just natural human tendency. Some of the things that we focus on. Hey, listen, this is a big one. We focus on others. I'm sorry, we focus on ourselves. Let's do that one first. We focus on ourselves. And it's human nature for us to have selfish desires. I come from a family, praise God that I don't have to live in generational curses, but I come from a family, not on Pastor Jim's side, that puts a great and a tremendous value on things. Have you ever been around somebody that puts a tremendous value on things? Does anybody, you know what I'm talking about? We have a name for them. It's not a name that we who put tremendous value on things like to hear, but we call them hoarders. My wife, her grandfather took them 2 years to clean his house after he passed because he had a tremendous value on things. So what happens is we begin to see possession, we begin to see value. And it might be worthless to somebody else, but to me, to myself, hey, don't touch that. Don't mess with that. Don't move that. I've got we always say this. I got plans for that. My wife, as I was running the message through today, she was like, you know, well, this one doesn't really apply to me. You know, I'm a mom. Pretty much, it seems like my eternal blessing in life is to serve everybody else but myself. I said, okay. I was thinking about it, and the Lord spoke to me. The last one is our others. We focus on others. What are they doing? What are they saying? Now, this is big for us in our day and age. Oh my goodness, we've got that little thing on the internet. It's blue and white. It's got pictures all over the place, and it's like the gossip column of the world. We call it Facebook, right? You know. Mick, you know why we focus on it? Because you go on Facebook, you don't care. You just want to read. You just got to know what everybody else is doing. My wife, we were laughing about it today. I gave up Facebook. I go on every once in a blue moon, but really I gave it up. I gave up Facebook. You know what happened? I started reading the news every day. I don't even read the news. She's like, you're really bad with the news. It's like, I got to know what others are doing. I got to know. What are they saying? What are they thinking? And as I was thinking about my wife, what happens is sometimes we can think about others to the point where it becomes selfishness again because we're so worried about what they're thinking of us. We're so worried about how they view us or what they're saying about us that we become insecure in our own self. And so then our thoughts may not tend towards selfish possessions, but they're immersed in our own life, our own selfish life as we go. So these are some things that we focus on. It's just natural human tendency for us to focus on these things. And as I was thinking about this and as the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, the thought came is that the time spent thinking on the what ifs, the time spent thinking on the problems, the time spent thinking about myself, the time spent thinking about others and worrying about others is wasted time. I was thinking about this and the Holy Spirit was speaking to me and he says, man, how many times have you gone over what if scenarios? How many times have you planned for every area, for every aspect of a certain scenario, only for it to play out or pan out completely different than you ever anticipated? And you see, the time spent worrying, the time spent thinking about these things, focusing on these things is time for you and I that is wasted. And for us, the only thing that is so valuable, you see, gold fluctuates in price. Dollar bill goes up and it goes down. Time is the most valuable thing in the world. Why? Because it's something that we will never get back. And if we waste our time misaligned or in a life of blur, not looking at what God has for us, then we find ourselves in a position as we grow older in life through life's experiences, whether you're young or whether you're old, through life's experiences, you realize that it becomes difficult to change your ways, your habits, because you become rooted in these things. And it's crucial for us to continually align our lives according to God's word and his will. Are you with me today? So I'm going to say a statement. What must, listen, it's not an option. It's not a recommendation. It's not a Reader's Digest suggestion. What must we focus on? Well, there's only one point for that one. It's God. I'm not even going to put a number on that one. That's not even point number one. You see, that's the underlying statement of everything else in our lives is God. We must focus on God first and foremost. I remember I was talking in the young adults about a month ago. We were talking about love. And one of the statements I had talked about with love is that we've got to love God more than anybody, anything else. And I remember it kind of got back to me, you know, as a pastor, they say the shepherd knows what goes on about the flock. So, you know, it kind of trickled back to me and people were talking after the service. Man, Pastor Luke, he was jacked up in that statement. That's not true. I mean, if you've got kids, you got to love your kids, man. You got to love your wife. You got to focus on your family. That's important. But you see, above all of that, above and beyond everything, listen, it's hard. The Word of God, if you let it long enough, if you live in it long enough, will rub you eventually the wrong way somewhere. And chances are, this statement, this little section, is a big brunt of that. Is that we have got to love God above all else, beyond all else. As a matter of fact, Jesus says in the book of Luke that our love for God in comparison should make everything else look like hatred. We love God so much that everything else, it pales in comparison. Yeah.
So what must we focus on? God. That's the obvious. I don't want to spend any more time on that. We have got to focus on God. Everything revolves around that. You know, the survivalists, they say that the human body can spend 3 days or live 3 days without water. So water is priority for our lives. But do you realize that you and I could not spend one vapor second on this earth alone by ourselves without God? It is God that holds the entire universe in balance. So water may be essential to our survival, but God is even more so essential. Therefore, God is deserving and worthy of our utmost focus. That's why Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 33, we all know that one. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Talking about the worries of life. What shall we eat? What shall we wear? What shall we do? Don't worry about those things first and foremost. Align your focus. Align your perspective with God. Are you with me today? Praise God. So today, that was what we must focus on. Now let's shift gears to what you and I need to focus on. What we need to focus on. This is that realignment. Not changing, realigning. Putting things back into place that we have knocked out through the life experiences. What we need to focus on, number one today, is goodness. We need to focus on goodness. You see, for those of you in this place that are like Pastor Luke, that are like me, I'm a what-ifer, all right, man? I tell you, I'm a what-ifer all day long. What if? At any given time in my car, there's like a sweater, a jacket, an emergency blanket, water. I mean, what if? It's like 95 degrees outside. I got a rain jacket. Why? What if? Have you ever noticed? Whether you're a what-if-er or not, okay? Not a whatever-er or not. That's the talk to the hand thing, a what-if. Have you ever noticed the things that make you anxious? The more you think about the things that make you anxious, the more anxious you become. Anybody ever notice that before? See, so when we focus on that which makes us anxious, when we focus on that which we don't know, the uncertain, all it does is it becomes greater in our lives, and we become more anxious, and we become more anxious, and we become more anxious, and then we become undone in our lives, and we're trying to figure out, God, where are you? And this makes I'm falling apart. And simply God saying, hey, listen, stop looking at all the things that are making you anxious. Stop it. That's what the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, Paul says. I'm not even going to that verse. I remember there was a time I was in the young adults service. I was after service and I was talking to a young adult, and they were talking to me. They said, Pastor Luke, man, I'm having a hard time with this Christian thing. I'm having a hard time living this life. Well, and I said, well, what's going on? Well, you know, I'm struggling in this and I'm struggling in that area. And as we were talking, I started just talking the word, giving them the scripture because I have nothing to say. So I just started talking. They said, well, but yeah, oh, that's great. But what if this? Okay. And so I give them a scripture for that. Okay. But what about this? What if this happens? Okay, we'll give them a scripture. What if this? And I started to notice the pattern in this conversation. And they were just what-if-ing me. What if? Well, I don't know. I don't know if I can continue on because this might happen. I don't know if I can really stay strong with God because what if this happens? Or what if this? Or what if my family says? Or what if? And finally, I stopped the conversation. I said, stop. Stop. You're focusing on the wrong things. You're focusing on everything that might happen. You might walk out of this place right now. What if you die in a car accident? Did you think about that? And they were like, no. What if the world ends? What if there's an earthquake? What if the building falls? What if the moon comes out of this? What if? You're focusing on the wrong things. Those are things, the questions we may never have answered. So we got to stop spending our time focusing on the what ifs. You see, you can worry about what ifs until you're blue in the face. And do you know what you will get out of that? A blue face. That's all you will get. We cannot worry about the things. We have to worry and focus on God's goodness, on the goodness. Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse number 8. Go with me. Philippians 4:8. Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse number 8. Oh man, what an awesome book Paul's writing here. I love this. I mean, this is a book that literally, you just feel like you can do anything when you read through Philippians. Just need to just take a good read. Read through Philippians, the book of Philippians. I'll tell you, it's just amazing. Philippians in the 4th chapter. Paul, as he's exhorting the church in Philippi, verse number 8, he says, finally, brethren, listen. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue in there, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these. Set your mind on these. Focus on these. Not the things that are going to tear you down. Not the things that are going to get you nowhere in life. Not the things that are going to break you apart and build your anxiety. Focus on what is good in life. You with me today? Now, I talked about phobia. I never gave it to you, so now I will give it to you. It's confessional time. My phobia, and I'm going to say this past tense because I believe the Holy Spirit has gotten me through this. My irrational fear was heights. Some of you are like, hey, amen, hallelujah, praise God, I'm right there with you. Some of the men are like that. They just say that so they don't have to put Christmas lights up on the roof. I remember vividly, the first time I encountered what people who are afraid of heights call vertigo. Has anybody ever had vertigo before? Anybody ever felt that where all of a sudden the world just starts spinning? There's no north, south, east, west. You are just a spin. Now, some of you are like, Pastor Luke, I've had that before, and I'm not talking about phobia, okay? I'm not talking about the stuff you were smoking. I'm talking about true, real. I remember it vividly. We were hiking. I was hiking with some friends here at the church. We decided one of these days we were going to climb up to the top of the mountain. The hike was rather mellow as far as heights go. Got up to the mountain, it was great. Signer, oh, there was no register on that one. We got up and took our pictures at the little plaque at the very top of the mountain. It was cool. We said, all right, we're going to make a loop. We're going to go down this other way. So we got down this other way, we turned a corner, and there was a spot on the trail. Now listen, I didn't name it, okay? So don't judge me for the name. But there was a spot on the trail. They call it the Devil's Backbone. I had heard about it. This was the very first time I encountered vertigo, because as I was walking, we walked on the ridge line of the mountain, and both sides of the mountain went away. The trail was about 6 feet wide. It was about 400-foot cliff on one side, and it was about a 70-degree loose rock bowl for about 1,000 feet of elevation on the other side. I've got a picture of it. Devil's Backbone. There it is. That doesn't look that intimidating. I don't know, for those of you who are impeccable with your vision, there's a person in that picture. That person's about 6 feet tall, so the trail's only about 3 feet tall. The very first time in my life I encountered vertigo from the fear of heights was right there in the middle of that trail when all of a sudden my world stopped. My world started spinning. I couldn't move. I literally could not pick one foot up and move it in front of the other. And I had another friend. He was afraid of heights too, but he wasn't freaking out like I was. And all of a sudden I recalled back to when I was a kid. My mama taught me 2 Timothy 1:7. For I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I remember I was sitting there on the trail. It was about as wide as a step. And I started praying in tongues, loud. And everybody's looking at me, what is this guy doing? And I started speaking, I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power. And one foot went in front of the other. One of the other. You know what? I made it through there. What's great, it's wonderful. The fear was still there. I was still terrified. My palms were sweaty. I was like, I ain't ever going on that trail ever again. I'm getting my feet on solid ground. But I remember as I was doing that, the Holy Spirit, as I walked by, it just disturbed me. It bugged me. The Holy Spirit said, you're not afraid of heights. You're afraid of falling. And I started thinking about it. Huh. It's not the heights. I started analyzing it. All right, truly, if I fell, my irrational logic would say, oh my goodness, I'm going to walk, and all of a sudden, I haven't tripped all day long, but I'm going to walk, and I'm going to catch my heel, and I'm going to go head first off a cliff and just never see ground again, fall into an eternal black hole. That's my thought. That's my irrational logic. When reality is, the trail's wide enough. If I fall, what's really going to happen? First of all, I'm carrying forward momentum, so if anybody knows anything about physics, I'm going to fall forward, not off. I mean, you just never trip and fall like off to your side. So the Holy Spirit began to say, listen, man, you're focusing on the wrong things. And as I began, I started to look at that. I started to realize that if I stop focusing on what if? What if I fall? What if I trip on a rock? My legs are tired. What happens if I stop focusing on that and say, you know what? There's a trail. I'm gonna focus on that step. I'm going to take that step. Okay, now what do I focus on? I'm going to focus on that step. All right, now what? I'm going to focus on that step. You know what now I'm going to do? I'm going to stop and I'm going to stare my fear in the face and I'm going to look at the view, because that's what you came up here for. And I begin to realize and I begin to focus. focus on why I was there, what my goal was in mind, guess what? My mind became preoccupied with the things that I was set out to do, and the fear of falling was in the background. It's the same thing for you and I in our lives. If we focus on the wrong things, they're going to become big in our lives. The anxiety is going to get there. It's only going to get greater. All we can do is focus on what's good, what's pure, what's noble, what's holy, what's just. Are you with me today? The Bible says in Romans that we've got to renew our mind, which means we have got to continually change our thinking. Why? Because it's going to want to go back to the what ifs. It's going to want to go back to the anxieties. It's going to want to go back to the things that drag us down. But when we realign our focus, it allows us to do something that we never thought we could do through the will of God. And this last year, I stared my fear in the face, and I climbed to the top of Mount Whitney, the tallest mountain in the continental United States. And I was sharing with one of our interns. We had this thing called a trust fall, where everybody stood on the wall and they fell back, and the interns all caught that one person. I mean, it was scary. And I shared with them, there was this one intern that she was just having a hard time, she couldn't do it. And I said, listen, I opened up, nobody knew it. I said, here's the deal. In 2 weeks, I'm going to the top of this mountain. Here's why I'm doing it. I'm not doing it for the accolades. I'm not doing it to say I did it. I'm doing it because there are two spots on that trail that they call the windows. The windows are, the trail is 3 feet wide, and it's not 400 feet like I talked about on the devil's backbone. It's 2,000 feet on one side, and it's 1,000 feet on the other side. And I said, I'm doing it because I'm not going to let fear control me anymore. Like the Apostle Paul said, I will not be brought under the power of any. And I began to realize that my fear of tripping had no power over me because I would focus on what God had for me, because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And here's a picture of us at the window. Put the window picture up. That's our group. You can see behind me. I'm the one in the black all the way on the right-hand side. There ain't nothing there. That is a sheer drop, 2,000 feet. That's about 13,600 feet. The drop lands at about 11,600 feet. And you can feel the wind blowing. On the other side, it's about 1,000-foot drop. You know, I say, Pastor Luke, you're nuts, you're crazy. But you know what? I focused on the things that God had told me to focus on. Think about the prize. Think about getting up to the top of that mountain and writing your name in the register that goes into the Smithsonian Institute. Think about the hike. Think about the journey. Think about the guys that you're with. Think about the encouragement that's going on. And don't think about your fear to trip. And guess what? I made it through that entire journey, 22 miles, brown trip, without tripping once. Why? Because I'm not focusing on it. We can get through life when we stop focusing on what tries to drag us down. Are you with me today? Excuse me. What we need to focus on, number two, solutions. Remember I talked about in the natural, we like to focus on our problems? Oh man, complaining is so much fun. You know why? Because you don't ever have to come up with a solution. You just get to gripe about how the world is so... You know what the best part is? I love to complain at Disneyland. Pastor Dan and I were talking about this. It's manufactured happiness, man. You don't remember the good moments. Why? Because everything's supposed to be good. You only remember the bad ones. You remember when you got there and they put you in the farthest parking spot in the stinking resort. You can't figure out why, because you drove through all the other ones and they're empty. You try to figure out why they got everything closed. Oh, they got four lines going and they only got one. There's one person skipping every... You know, you've been there before too. We like to complain. Well, they should do it like this. If I was running it, I'd do it like that. Complaining's easy because we don't ever have to come up with a solution. But you see, we should stop focusing on the problem and start looking at the solution. Yes. That's the issue. That's the realignment. When you look, it's like anxiety. When we look at the problems, guess what? They get bigger, right? But when we begin to focus on the ish or on the solution, guess what happens? The problem gets smaller. What you put your eyes on, what you put your focus and your attention on will become greatest in your life. And when you focus on your problems, oh, I got problems, they will get big. But the solution is right around the corner. We got to stop focusing not on the what ifs, but the right nows. That's our problems. They get everything. When they get bigger, everything gets smaller and we become slaves. Stop giving them the attention. Stop feeding your problems. You're there in Philippians. Go with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews in the 12th chapter. Hebrews in the 12th chapter. Such a cool verse. Man, the Holy Spirit just popped this out at me today. Hebrews the 12th chapter, verse number 1. Kind of familiar verse for us. Hebrews 12, chapter 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I love this. Verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Now, going back to verse number 1, this is what jumped out at me today. I always accounted this verse as, let us set aside, get rid of the sin in your life. Put it away. This is a verse about sin. But do you see it says, let us go back to verse number 1a. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin. See, this is problems. This is things that drag you down. This is things in your life. It may just be the things that you were handed to in life. It might just be experiences that we go through in life that are beyond our control. Not just the sin that we have brought into our life, but the weight and the sin. Get rid of it. Why? Stop focusing on it. Praise God. There's verse number 2 that says, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Which means stop looking at your problems. Stop looking at the weight that might be around your ankles. And start looking at the solution. Jesus Christ, the one that will get you through. The Bible says the author and the finisher of our faith. Praise God. I remember when I was hiking one time with Stacy, I was out walking. All of a sudden, my left hip locked. I'm young, all right? I know some of you guys are like, dude, you're a kid. I know. My hip should not do what it did. I was out in the middle of just Riverside. We were at this really cool little park, and my hip stopped. I couldn't bend it. I couldn't move it. I couldn't bend over. I couldn't lift it. It stopped. We had to stand there, and she had to try to help me rub it out. And it wasn't a Charlie horse. It was internal. So I went to the doctor. The doctor looked at my hip. They put me on a treadmill, and they watched the way I walk. And the doctor said, oh, man, you got to go to physical therapy right now. I'm thinking, man, He says, it's your right hip. And I, no, doctor, it's in my left hip. My left hip's the one that locked. No, it's your right hip's the problem. No, you don't understand. Doctor, it's my left hip. It's the one that locked up, doc. So I go to physical therapy 3 months, 2 times a week, I'm in physical therapy. They tell me that I've got this thing called femoral acetabular impingement. It's bone rubbing on bone on my right hip. The cartilage is kind of wearing out, or there's a spur that's coming around that ball joint. And what that does is that causes me to favor my hip. They saw this on the treadmill. The way I would run, I'd swing my right hip out and my left hip would be kind of this little like gimp. And what happened is because of that, the muscles here got stronger than the muscles here. And that's why this hip locked up. That's why I had sciatic pains in the back because my hips were all tweaked. 3 months of physical therapy and they told me, listen, we need you to stop hiking. We need you to stop biking. We need you to stop. I was playing hockey, rec hockey at the time. We need you to stop playing hockey. We need you to stop doing everything that you like to do and just sit on the couch and be a bum. My problem. Everything that I like to do, they told me I couldn't do it anymore because of this. So I could focus at the problem. I could say, man, that stinks. Well, I'll live the good old days. I'll talk about the glory days and I'll reminisce. I could start focusing on the problem or I can say, you know what? I could start getting on there, start talking to the doctor, start talking to the physical therapist. What can I do? What kind of stretches? What kind of exercises can I do to help better my situation? And start doing those. Before the hikes, I would get down on the ground. Everybody would be looking at me all weird. And I'd have my legs up behind my head. And I'd be tweaking off to the side. And I'd have like a little branch in between my legs. Doing all these weird stretches. But you see, what happened is I started focusing on the solution. The solution was to try to better myself. To better my body so that this didn't become something that would pull me down. And because of that, I was able to climb to the top of the highest mountain in the 48 states. 22 miles round trips. Over a mile of elevation gain. It stunk as a hike. And there's a picture of us on the top of the mountain. Me and 5 guys, 3 of those are guys from the church, from the young adults ministry, man. It was like the highlight of our life. You see, if I would have focused on the problem, I would have never sat there at the plaque of that mountain by the Smithsonian Institute. I would have never sat there. If we focus on the problems in our lives, whether they be the sin in our lives, whether they be the issues, whether they be things that drag us down, we will never get to where God has for us. We can only focus on the solution, that is Jesus Christ. For those of you, Pastor Dan, here was where that picture came. For those of you that get a little bit heebie-jeebies, any hype people in the house? You say, man, I'm not, okay. This picture's for you, the next one. That was where I sat and made a phone call to my wife. That is at 14,500 feet. I sat there and called my wife. My feet were on that bottom rock, and I leaned over the edge and put my camera. Where that lake is, that's straight down, and that is 3,000 feet. You see, we can look at fear in the face and say, You're not going to get there anymore. Not going to get there anymore. Fear, you don't have anything. Problems, you don't have any issue on me. Why? Because I'm going to focus on what God says. I'm going to say about my life what God says. It might be your children might be your problem. Your work might be your problem. Your money might be your problem. Your life might be your problem. Your emotions might be your problem. But you're going to say, you know what? I'm not going to focus on the things that drag me down. I'm going to put those things behind because I'm looking at Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. And I'm going to stand on the top of the mountain that God has called me to stand on. And nothing is going to get in my way. You tell that punk devil to go back to the fiery hell pit he came from. Now you're saying, hallelujah, Pastor Luke, you said my problems were money. Listen, remember the Bible says what you sow, you reap. Don't be thinking Jesus is going to bail you out because you got in over your head in debt. He's going to give you the strength and the ability to do, to endure through and give you the smarts to get out of that. Praise God. Let's not be so naive in our lives. But remember that Jesus is the answer. He is the solution. Are you with me today? I'm going so late. I'm going to just wrap these two up real quick. Two things that we need. Last things we need to focus on. Number three, we need to focus on ourselves. Wait, what? What? You said we focus on ourselves. Remember I said the message is called focus realignment, right? Not change. We got to realign. So what we do is we focus on ourselves materialistically, physically. Have you ever noticed that when you go to the gym, have you ever noticed that gyms have mirrors? They ever notice that? They always have a mirror at the gym. Wherever there's weights, there's a gym. And I didn't know why until I lived with this one guy. I'm not even going to call him out by name. But he was one of my college roommates, man. And he would go work out. He would be in his room and he would do push-ups. And he's the skinniest little twig of a guy. I mean, I'm 6'1", 200 pounds. All right, and this guy is like nothing. He was my roommate. And he would just be sitting there working out. And then he would, as soon as the workout's done, he would run to the bathroom and look at himself. Dude, you didn't get any buffer doing 10 push-ups. No, man, your muscles swell. That's why they have me. Why we like ourselves. But see, we need to stop focusing on ourselves on the outside, on the material, on the selfish desires. But we do need to start focusing on ourselves spiritually. Because otherwise we suffer what we call burnout or shipwreck. Because we start focusing so much on everything else that we don't give time to build ourselves. We don't give time to build ourselves up. We need to realign and focus ourselves spiritually. 1 Corinthians in the 9th chapter. I'll just put it on the overhead because we're running out of time. We have ran out of time. Paul the Apostle says, don't you know those who run a race all run, but one receives a prize? He says, run in such a way that you may obtain it. You're going to have to run like you've never ran before. And he's speaking. He's giving a physical example to a spiritual principle. He's using this like I'm using the mountain for you. He's using this race for you and I spiritually. Run in your spiritual life so that you will obtain a prize. And he goes on to say, verse number 25, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. They do not obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable. Look with it, verse number 26. Therefore I run thus. This is how I run. I don't run with uncertainty. I know where I'm going. I know the track. Thus I fight. This is how I fight my spiritual battles. Not as somebody who's boxing the air with no opposition. What does he say? Verse number 27. He's building it up. He says, I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection. Lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. He says, I'm going through resistance training in my life. I am focusing on myself spiritually to build myself up so that when the battles of life come, I know exactly where I'm going. I know exactly how to fight. I know exactly because I've been there before. We have got to do this. We understand that. An unfit body will be unprepared for the task ahead. When I set out to climb Mount Whitney, to hike Mount Whitney, it was a year ago I started training. I weighed 210 pounds. All right, I was bulking up, as they say. Bulking up. I've lost 40 pounds to prepare for that. Why? Because I knew that at my present situation, at my present condition, I wasn't going to make it. So what did I do? I started subjecting, putting myself under discipline. I started saying, all right, you're going to do this. You're going to start walking. You're going to start swimming, because that's what they told me to do with my hips. To do that, I gave myself, aside from a healthy lifestyle, we have got to put ourselves spiritually into subjection, which means we have to place time. You have to make a priority for you and I in our lives. We have got to set time aside to build ourselves up spiritually so that we can achieve the task at hand. Are you with me today? Are you still here? Are you all right with me? I know I'm talking so long. For me, it was cookies. I'm not even kidding, man. I lost 40 pounds by not eating any more cookies. You just got to put yourself in subjection. Start focusing. Give yourself a spiritual goal. Start reading the Word of God every day, whatever it might be. Luke, the 13th chapter, Jesus says, strive to enter. Strive! Strive! What does that mean? What does that mean? That means work at it. Push at it. Strive to enter through the narrow gate. Yes. It's going to take work in our lives, church. Yeah. And we've got to work for it. Are you with me today? All right, last one. We'll move on. Last one. You know what? It's coming because we're talking about realignment. Last one. Focus on others. See, no longer should you and I focus on what they think about, what they say about. There used to be time I was so convicted. I would spend, and I'm not even a fashion guy, I would spend so much time in the closet. I was like a diva before I'd preach. Before I'd come up here, Pastor Luke was sitting in the closet and I'd be trying on every outfit. And I'm not that kind of a guy. Pastor Dan can attest, I am not an outfit guy. But there was one time when Pastor Dan got a letter for some pants that he wore. I'm calling you out, man. All right. And I got so concerned about what everybody else would think. Oh, well, I can't wear that. I can't. This doesn't match. Does this go together right? And I would think about it. I would try on. And the Lord said, you're spending more time on clothes than you are preparing for the message. We got a problem here. We got to stop focusing on what everybody else thinks about us. When you walk out of the house, it doesn't matter what people think about you. You know why? Here's the reality. Christianity from its inception has always been counterculture. It's never the popular vote. There was an article a year ago, Christianity's on the decline. It's no longer the popular choice in America. Hello! It's never been that way in the world. That's why Jesus was nailed to a cross. Wasn't elected president. Which means we have got to stop focusing on what people care about us or what people say about us. Galatians in the 5th chapter, Paul the Apostle talking to the church, he says, man, you guys ran well. You did well. Who hindered you? Who stopped you? What pulled you back? You were listening to the wrong voice. He goes on to say, a little leaven, leaven's the whole lump. Stop listening to the voices on the outside. Stop listening to the critics. If Jesus would have listened to the critics, what would he have accomplished? The Pharisee said, why does your master hang out with the tax collectors and the sinners? Jesus says, because the people who are healthy don't need a doctor. Stop worrying what the world says about you. Stop worrying about what they think about you, what they say about you at work. He's the weird one. He's the noisy one. Start thinking about others in a different light. Not just what they think about you. Now start thinking about how you can do something for them. What can I do to bless you? What can I do to shine God's light for you? What can I do to show you how much God loves you? My favorite verse. Oh my goodness. My favorite verse. Jesus says to his disciples, because I like fishing. Matthew, the 4th chapter, says, hey, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. You come into me, you come to Jesus, you get him in your life, you start focusing on the things that God has for you. Stop worrying about the what ifs and start worrying about goodness. Stop focusing on goodness. Stop worrying about your problems and start focusing on the solution. Start focusing on yourself spiritually and building yourself. And guess what? Naturally, it will become a river of flowing life that people will look at you and say, man, what is it that you have? You don't even have to try. All you have to do is start worrying or start thinking. You don't have to worry about anything. You start thinking about focusing on what you can do for the kingdom of God, for others. It's not just so that you and I can hold this together. This kingdom, all this great love that we have, it's so that we can give it away. We've got to realign our focus. Did you guys get something out of the word of the Lord tonight?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.